the battle strife. In all my misery, be my health and life. My life, be thou my health and life.
Lord Jesus, think
on me. Lord Jesus, think
on me.
Good morning. My name is Joel Smith. I'm one of the deacons here at Village, and it's my pleasure to read the scripture during the month of March. Today's scripture lesson is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 29. You can follow along on the screen behind me, and it's also in the Pew Bible on page 905. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink of this fruit again, of the vine, fruit of the vine again, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." May the Lord give us wisdom to understand his holy word.
Allie was born in Louisville, Kentucky, to a mother who suffered from paranoid schizophrenia. For the first 6 years of her life, Allie and her mother drifted in and out of homelessness. Although Allie loved her mother, that was no way to live. When Allie was 6 years old, she was placed into foster care by Child Protective Services. A short time after that, Allie's mother gave birth to another child, to Allie's younger sister. The two of them were able to spend some time with their mother off and on for the next few years, but their mother was still not well. Allie saw her mother for the last time at age 10 during a volatile, supervised home visit. After that, a judge ruled that for the safety of the children, their mother's parental rights would be terminated, and the girls would be put up for adoption. At age 12, Allie and her sister were adopted. She and her sister moved to Fort Hood, Texas, to live with a military couple who were their new parents. Things were okay for a while, but soon things did not go well. After her adoptive father was deployed to Iraq, the relationship between Allie and her adoptive mother began to deteriorate. While in foster care, Allie had developed a habit of hoarding food, probably because she was worried about not having enough to eat. The adoptive mother suffered from anorexia. She placed restrictions on the girls about food. Afraid about going hungry, Allie began to steal food from her own home. Her adoptive mother grounded Allie for stealing food. Allie was banned from the kitchen. She could not go downstairs by herself anymore. The adoptive mother put a buzzer on Allie's door so that she would know if Allie left her room. The adoptive mother took Allie and her sister out of school so that she could exercise full control over their lives. Allie ran away from home. Eventually, her adoptive parents gave up on her, and Allie was moved into the Methodist Children's Home in Waco, Texas, a residential facility that provided schooling and other support. Ironically, instead of hating living at the children's home, Allie loved it. Although her adoptive parents had introduced her to God, it was only at the children's home that Allie began to develop a faith of her own. Looking back, Allie says, "There's no reason that I should have survived and then gone on to be functional. It's only my complete dependence on Jesus that has made anything good." With the support of a staff member at the children's home, Allie was able to grieve for the loss of her family and to grieve for all the devastating experiences that she had gone through growing up. And it was while finishing high school at the children's home that Allie began to dream about attending Baylor University. It was, for her, an impossible dream, so she thought, because of finances. But the university awarded Allie with a full scholarship, and Allie moved 5 minutes from the Methodist Children's Home to a dorm at Baylor University. Allie said, "To be honest, coming into Baylor, I thought I'd drop out during the first year. Living in trauma, you don't think past the next day. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was alone, absolutely alone." But Allie would not be alone for long. During her freshman year, she was invited by some friends to go to a church in Waco. And at that church, she began to hear about Jesus, began to learn about his love for her. And it was a part of the deep healing that Allie began to experience during her freshman year in college. The healing included beginning the process of forgiving her adoptive mother, with whom she had cut off ties since entering college. And this was made even more difficult because the family had moved and they didn't tell her. Well, during her sophomore year, Allie felt that God was releasing her from a relationship with her adoptive parents. They'd not communicated with her in months, but she still felt burdened that she should try to have a relationship with them. When she began to feel that God was releasing her from that obligation, she felt like that burden had been lifted. She felt free from something that she thought that she would be carrying for the rest of her life. Although she was still alone, she began to feel liberated, to feel free. It was just a few days after she felt that the Lord had released her from her adoptive parents that a family in her church took her out to lunch. The family included Katie, one of Allie's best friends at Baylor, and Katie's parents, Cindy and Joe. Cindy, Katie's mother, was a senior lecturer in the School of Engineering and Computer Science at Baylor. And over lunch, Cindy told Allie that she and her husband had been talking a long time and they wanted to adopt her. Allie was in shock. Her first thought was, no way, been there, done that. But then Allie began to consider the radical offer. She began to feel in her spirit, this is of the Lord. And so on December 16th, 2011, Allie was adopted for the second time. Although adult adoptions are not as complicated as minor adoptions, there were still plenty of challenges. Because Allie was busy with her studies, it was tough to find time for her to talk in depth with her family, really get to know her new parents, for them to get to know her on a deeper level. And it was a learning experience because she had to learn to trust again. But they worked at it together. And Allie became a part of a new family. Her mother, Cindy, said, it's powerful to realize what God can do with anyone's circumstances and use them for good. And Cindy added, you can see so clearly the hand of the Lord on Allie's life. Well, in our scripture for this morning, Jesus gathered with his disciples in an upper room for what would be their last supper together. They gathered to share the Passover. And while they were eating, Jesus said, one of you will betray me. It must have been an incredibly difficult thing for Jesus to do, to share the Passover with someone that he knew would betray him. And it must have been difficult for the disciples to hear that. For to a man, each one said, Lord, surely not I. Then Judas, who had already betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, disingenuously said, Rabbi, surely not I. Jesus replied, you said so. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take and eat, this is my body. He did the same with a cup. After giving thanks, drink it, he said, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Now, my guess is, at that time, the disciples had no idea what Jesus was talking about. The bread and the cup, they knew, were elements of the Passover meal they had just shared together. But this talk about his body and his blood, that must have mystified them. How could they have understood then what he was referring to? And so it was only after Jesus died on the cross that they began to understand the symbolism of the bread and the cup. His body and his blood were sacrificed for their sins. Jesus was giving himself for them out of love. Now, for 3 years, they'd been with Jesus. They'd heard him teach. They'd seen him heal. They had witnessed his confrontations with the religious authorities. They had seen his acts of compassion on the lowly and the downtrodden. They'd been invited to share with Jesus the most personal moments of his life. And yet they could not understand at that time all that Jesus had for them. You see, he wanted to be more than their friend. He wanted to be more than their Lord. He wanted to welcome them into the family of God. And so Jesus used the bread and the cup as symbols of his own flesh and blood. In essence, he was inviting the disciples to become his own flesh and blood by eating the bread and by drinking the cup. He was inviting them to become a part of his family through his sacrifice on the cross. And the Apostle Paul understood this metaphor when he spoke about our adoption into the family of God. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul wrote, "He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will." And so, really, the bread and the cup are about our adoption into the family of God. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. It's about what God has done for us through Jesus to adopt us into his family. It's about what God has done to overcome our aloneness and to bring us home to himself. Jesus said of the bread, "This is my body." But when we receive Jesus into our hearts, we become the body of Christ. We become the family of God. When Cindy told Allie that she and her husband wanted to adopt her, Allie could hardly believe it. She'd felt so alone, so utterly alone, so absolutely alone. And now they wanted to welcome her into their family. And so now Allie became a part of two families. She became a part of Cindy's family, and she became a part of God's family. Allie credits God with the radical healing and transformation and liberation that has occurred in her life. Well, that's what Jesus came to do for all of us, to heal the broken places in our lives, to transform us into his image, and to set us free. And that's what the bread and the cup on this table represent, what God has done for us through Jesus to welcome us into his family. We are the body of Christ and individually members of him. We who believe in Jesus have been adopted. We've been born again. We've been welcomed into God's family. So, my brothers and sisters, take and eat. Take and drink. There's a place at God's table for you. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from his table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own.
reminded of how truly great thou art. As the hymnist wrote, we can scarcely take in the magnitude of your sacrifice for us, yet here we stand again ready to be made clean because of you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to wash away our sins yet again. Amen.
Every time we share the Lord's Supper, we share our fellowship in God's family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ through our common faith in Him. If you've not professed your faith in Jesus in a public way and followed Him as a believer in baptism, that's the way to accept God's invitation to join His family. And maybe there's someone here today who'd want to make that commitment of your life to Christ. Or maybe you've been a part of God's family for a long time, but you're not a part of this local church family. You'd want to unite with us. We'd welcome that decision as well. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 462, In Remembrance.
Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide among us all, now and forever.